This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and today we have another guest on the same subject we've been looking at the last couple of days. If you had a chance to tune in Monday or Tuesday, we had as our guest Andrew Comiskey, and Andrew is the founder of Desert Stream Living Waters Ministries, which is helping really bring healing to the sexually broken. And that includes a lot of people and a lot of different dimensions of that reality. And I mentioned to you Andy's new book called Rediscovering Our Lost Fullness, A Guide to Sexual Integration. And Andy's right-hand man in the ministry is a gentleman named Marco Casanova, who's deeply involved in this very, very fruitful ministry and welcoming him today. Welcome, Marco.
Thank you, Peter. Good to be here with
you. Yeah. So we get a few days with you. I'm excited about that. Yeah, yeah. So let's begin today just with your own story, kind of, and how you got to Desert Stream in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. So I first encountered Desert Stream when I was in the seminary. So I was studying to be a priest for about 8.5 years. I was really in it. And it was in the seminary that I started to discover my own need for more integration. Coming out of a background of homosexuality, same-sex attraction, I was really looking for, what does that mean for me? Where am I going to land as a man? I've been wanting to be a priest since I was a kid. So that was beautiful, but also complicated things because the priestly call is a celibate call. So subconsciously, that was a bit of an easy way out of working out these issues that I had in my own sexuality. At least that's the way I saw it. So I encountered Desert Stream when I was in the seminary. I started to realize, like, I don't believe I'm gay. I'm not sold on that. I'm not sold that this symptom of disintegration is my identity, but it is symptomatic of something that I need just to look at in a deeper way, psychologically, spiritually, like all of the above. And so that's when I got in touch with a good priest friend who I really trust. And he said, hey, there's this guy named Andrew Comiskey. He's out in Kansas City and he works with people who do struggle like you. And he has a good grasp of the symptom and kind of an understanding of what it necessitates to make steps in chastity for those who are struggling with same-sex attraction. So I went to a Living Waters leadership training. We still do those like 3 times a year, and it changed my life. I didn't go for my own, to lead Living Waters. I just went for my own personal healing integration. But I left really, really inspired that Jesus could help me not only integrate parts of myself that were disintegrated, but that I have a capacity to be a father, and I have a capacity to be a married man to a woman. These were just novel things for me to actually encounter, but that week gave me a wherewithal in the power of Jesus' Spirit to make some significant steps, like leaving the seminary, moving to Kansas City, being an intern at Desert Stream, which gave me space to work out a lot of these issues. I'm still working it out. You know, I'm still a work in progress. I met my wife in 2021 in Poland. And it's really because of the work of Living Waters Desert Stream that I'm able to be a married man, honestly. It gave me a lexicon to understand what was going on inside of me, subterranean, and actually gave me empowerment to just make good next steps in being an integrated gift for my wife. So grateful for it.
Yeah. How much was the, you said earlier you weren't identifying as a gay man, but how deep was were the desires, and what was it like? When did this begin to emerge in your life, and how did it manifest itself?
Yeah. So The catechism says the psychogenesis of homosexuality is largely unknown. And I think a lot of people take that as we can't opine on the issue. But I don't think the catechism is saying that. I think what the catechism is saying, you know, it's not in my wherewithal as the catechism to make psychological declarations. But for those of you who have insight into that, opine all you want. Give people insight. And so I would say that for me, it was, you know, early adolescent, middle school, end of elementary school, middle school, I started to feel attraction to the guys that were my friends. And I remember thinking, like, man, you know, yeah, it's one thing to admire them, but I'm starting to, like, desire them in a deeper way. And I knew something was a little off. And so I would say that was sort of the dominating thing in my life from that point on. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really speak about it. I didn't go to therapy or anything like that as a kid. I didn't tell my parents. I wasn't so communicative with kind of what was going on in my affections. It wasn't until later in my life that I started to look at that. And it was when I came into the light, it was the dominant thing. I just thought, well, this is just kind of an immutable part of my life. This is not going to change. This is kind of it, you know? Mm-hmm. But what I realized in my adventure journey in integration, that when I started looking at what was some of the wounds behind my same-sex attraction, I do believe same-sex attraction is emblematic of a wound. When I started looking at that, I started to understand my attraction to the same sex. It was indicating something to me, something about my need for male friendship, good male friendship, good masculine presence in my life. And I dare say, when I started to understand the wound and respond appropriately to those attractions, the attractions started to diminish. Or in another way, they started to seem more vulnerabilities than dominating identity. And that was really helpful for me. And I don't think that's just because I'm someone special. I just think that whenever we have insight into the wounds that we bear, we gain a wherewithal to just navigate them. And they need not define us, but they give us opportunities to say to a fellow, hey, I'm kind of struggling, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to eroticize other guys, but I'm actually, something's deeper than that. It's not, the eroticization is telling me something. Maybe I feel disempowered, or maybe it's a rough season at work or in my marriage, whatever the case might be. These attractions are telling me something, and the community that I have around me in my friends have enabled me to be known in these areas, which has really helped me see the wound being healed. I am healed and being healed, you know? And so I appreciate those insights.
Yeah. So what is the wound? I mean, I think today to talk about it that way in the general public, for example, to say, why would you even think it's a wound? Like what is that, somebody you grew up with or somebody imposed that idea on you? And what do you mean by that? And what is it exactly?
You know, I think for me, and this isn't to absolutize everybody's experience of homosexuality, but I think it's emblematic of a father wound. I do, you know, mm-hmm. I love my dad. He's such a great man, and I'm grateful for him in many ways. I think I was a pretty sensitive kid temperamentally, and I don't think he was attuned to me in the ways that I really needed him to be attuned to me. And in a way, I think that sort of left me wanting from the masculine. It left me needing some advocacy from him that I didn't necessarily get. And in that way, that sort of wounded me in a way. And in that vacancy, I desired the masculine, and that desire became eroticized, became sexualized for me. And I think the wounds in our early childhood development actually bear some residue for the rest of our lives. You know, mm-hmm. Of course we can gain good self-mastery.
Yeah, that's not just the case with people who are struggling with homosexual desires. It's heterosexual people. It's just, it happens.
Exactly. You know? And so, psychologically, I think I developed a bit of a defensive detachment towards my dad. I wanted my dad, but I was also detached and trying to defend myself from any other hurt that I could experience from him. And it's in the journey of integration that I was able to sort of own that, share that with my dad, forgive my father, have good conversations with him about this. All of this is so important for me to integrate as a guy. And so I'm so appreciative of these insights that have helped me see my wound. And, you know, my dad, whenever we had this amazing conversation in particular, it didn't take away the wound. You know, you can't sort of deliver for lost time, but there's something about the forgiveness that I'm able to release my dad and no longer hold a judgment against him. Like, oh, how dare you? It's like, well, okay, you're broken, and you know, you did the best you could, and I'm grateful for that. And I can have a good relationship with you now. It, you know, not in spite of, but in tension with what wasn't in the past. And so I think homosexuality is emblematic of a sort of seminal father or mother wound. And I just think that, that those are good interpretive keys. It's not to say, those of you who are homosexually inclined, I know you have a father wound. It's not to say that. I don't know. I know that that was for me. And I think that was a good key in understanding why I feel the way I feel at times.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I have two siblings. I'm the youngest of three. I have a brother who's so not like me in many ways. And this is where I think temperament is so important mm-hmm. in the discussion. You know, we have different temperaments. He's a little bit more tough. I'm a little bit more sensitive. All of those things operative are so important. You know, my brother doesn't struggle like me. Thank God. You know, he has his own struggles. But in that way, it shows me that it is very much an environmental thing for us mm-hmm. who experience these attractions. No need to go into deep identity crises of who am I? It's like, no, I just, this is why I love the language of just having same sex. I experience same sex attraction. Mm-hmm. I'm not gay, but I'm a man who experiences these things. And by the grace of God, I can gain some insight so I can navigate these attractions well in my relationships.
So you may have some people say, well, that's wonderful to hear about you. but my same-sex attraction is different and my experience is different. And I have to say, I am a gay man. I'm a gay, you know, this is it. There's nothing else. This is who I am. How do you understand that when someone communicates and self-identifies in that kind of way? Like,
yeah, you know, I don't believe that there is such a thing as a gay person. I just don't. I think we're either men or women. I don't think there is such a thing as a homosexual person. And so if people identify as that and this is the way they're working out their conflicts, I mean, I can't necessarily impose any sort of anthropology or spirituality onto that. I would just say I see it very differently. And yeah, surely you may have very good relationships with your parents. Maybe you don't experience that. Although I would say, let's just take a deeper look. You know, I think I would have said at the beginning, yeah, my relationship with my dad is pretty good. But then I was able just to see a little bit more of the fine stuff. It's not to villainize our parents, but it is to say, you know, I internalized things as a child or in those seminal developmental years. And I just want to look at that to see maybe giving me a bit of a lens as to why I may be experiencing the things I am experiencing. I just think those are helpful. It's not to impose my story as the absolute, but it is to say, could these interpretive keys be helpful for you?
Man, time goes by fast. Marco, it's great that you're here. Glad you can join us again tomorrow. If people want to get to reach you guys and know more about the ministry you're involved in, how would they do that?
DesertStream.org. DesertStream.org. You can find our emails there, and we're very communicative. We'll be happy to help you.
Yeah. I think one of the things that most inspires me in just talking with you and Andy over the last few days is it's the same journey that every human being has that's called to follow Christ, is to say he really is the one who reveals to me my identity, and happiness and freedom come with aligning our lives in relationship to him as a person. God bless you, friends. Hope you can join us tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
In the scripture, Jesus' teaching on the conditions of salvation is consistent, urgent, and pervasive. Friends, I'd like to offer you Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? The booklet unpacks several gospel passages so we can find and stay on the narrow path that leads to eternal life. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE. That's renewalministries.net/FOE.